Yeah, well, I was on the Dark Side of the Moon album where I was talking on it. You know, they were next door and we were, this is at Abbey Road, and we were doing Red Rose Speedway. And they asked us to go in and do this, but they turned the card over and they were, you had to answer the question immediately without even thinking, you know. So it was all over the place, you know. But not musically, no. Or not on an instrument, Mark, you know.
But you're on Dark Side of the Moon.
I am.
Okay. Money! So they say.
Dark Side of the Moon, Donovan.
Yeah.
Ronnie Lane, Small Faces.
Yeah.
Leon Russell.
Yeah.
Marianne Faithfull.
Yeah.
What did you do with Marianne? Keep it clean.
I did it. Yeah. I only did an album for Broken English, I think it was called.
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember the title, but some from around that time anyway. Oh, good while back when she was in London, you know.
Roy Harper.
Yeah. Good man, Roy.
Grease Band?
Yeah.
Paul McCartney and Wings, of course, that's...
Yeah.
And Joe Cocker?
Joe Cocker and the Grease Band, yeah. That's only half of it.
Why don't you write books?
Well, I've thought about it, you know, and getting help with somebody. I actually went once to a hypnotist called Edwin Heath, or I wrote him a letter, rather, you know, but I think the man passed away and I never got round to going into a transgressional period, you know, that I wanted to do just to fill in the gaps, you know.
To help you remember.
Yeah. I mean, I remember everything, basically, you know, but there are a few things I think that if I'd have been able to do that, I could have, you know, would have came to the fore. And, but I mean, there's enough there just gleaning off the top, you know, there's a couple of books there, you know, but I sent stuff to Faber and Faber, and he says, well, no, you know, we don't want to be different if you're, you know, Phil Collins or something, you know, but not interested in the that side of the story, you know. But the recovery period, not only physically but mental, was really, really overpowering at times, you know. But, you know, I found a little niche in there and I went down, and this is God's truth, I went down to my mother's grave and I said a prayer and I sort of stopped drinking and I stopped taking drugs apart from weekends. But I lost all that that comes with travelling with the likes of Joe Cocker and the Grease Band and stuff. And I continued with it, you know, even though I was dashing about doing different things with Eric Burden or Donovan or Andy Fairweather Lowe or, you know. But it wasn't, it took a long time for me to realise, you know, that if I... If I don't do something about the thing that I love best, which is my music, I'm going to sort of lose everything altogether, you know, respect, you know, the talent that I've been given and all the rest of it. So I pushed and I pushed and I pushed until I was able to break through. And but it was all done, you know, just I had to do it by myself as well, you know.
How's the health now?
Super.
You walked in there as bright as a bee, you have to say, but you...
I was up early.
I mean, you have the appearance of a man. You have a face of a man. You've a lived-in face.
Well, somebody said it wouldn't have been out of place on Mount Rushmore.
But you've been around a few corners, haven't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Okay. Sure, aren't we all, you know, or haven't we all been around a few, you know, regardless of age or anything, you know. But I think, you know, with the experience that I gained in my apprenticeship in music, stood me in great stead through the years, hence the being able to work with all these other people, you know, and treat them all slightly different, you know.
Who taught you?
I taught myself.
Just sit down in the bedroom?
just sat down and, like everybody at one point, bought guitars because it was just after the skiffle period with Lonnie Donegan and stuff, great stuff. It was in between like that and the rock and roll period of Jerry Lee and Elvis and stuff. So there was a lot of scampering to get up to the music shop, you know, and hunt guitars. And most people at that stage, you know, would have had an acoustic or something, you know. A lot of them would have left it down. Well, the majority of them wouldn't have carried on with their musical career, you know. They went into other things, lawyers and...
Mm. See, Jerry, I mean, I know Jerry played a wee bit in that whole scene as well. He would be now scathing and cynical of the whole showband thing. He said it was a glossy... but a glossy thing, but underneath it was a cynical business. How do you remember the showbands?
With a lot of respect and a lot of love, because... I mean, I was only 17, like, you know. I was the one that sat on top of the roof rack, like, going down in through Mayo. He didn't know what was going on, you know. You know, taking pictures of donkeys and stuff, you know, that I only ever saw on postcards. So the whole thing to me was like, not only was there music involved, which I didn't know a lot about the playing end of it. I could play the obvious skiffle chords and stuff, but these guys were seasoned professionals, you know, like horn, four-piece horn section and stuff, you know, and they're... You know, I was a lot younger, but I had a great time with it, you know, but I had to eventually break away from it. Like when the Beatles and the Stones and Jerry, all the rock and roll people, you know, and then the English sort of blues boom and all the rest of it, and the Beatles and stuff. And not only was the music starting to change a little bit, but the Beatles, for instance, they were influenced hairstyles, the way you dressed, Beatle boots, you know, and everybody had them, you know. And, you know, it was a great time to sort of, to leave the show bands and go over to England, as one always did, you know.
What gives you pleasure?
The guitar. Music gives me pleasure. Music gives me... It's sort of a hobby as well as a professional thing, you know. I can't think of anything else, really, you know.
But is there a part of your life that you
see in the little...
Is there a time you look back and you think the colours were brighter then? You know, that was it, man. It was bright. That was the time. Or is tomorrow the best time?
Now is the best time. I mean, tomorrow's going to be better, you know. I mean, it's how you approach it, you know. And if you can get strength in yourself from doing different things, you know, well, then you realise, well, you know, I'll just batter on with this, you know. And good company too, a bit of crack.
Sure, everybody needs a bit of that. Mm. But you know, not to under or overstate it. I mean, you lived in McCartney's house. The Wings lineup of which you were a part, I mean, is almost to a man, and the reviewers or to a woman, they reckon that was a quintessential Wings lineup. But well, you walked away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had, along with Denny Lane, come up with a few little tunes, you know. We had the bonding period, and it worked out great. And then he was just Paul McCartney by name after a couple of months, you know, or Paul. But it was nigh impossible to get a line into any of his songs or to use as a group thing, you know, which he recently regretted. He didn't realise that he'd such a band with him, you know, at the time, but he had the Beatles and all broken up and Alan Klein and all that, and so he hightailed it up to Scotland, like, and just grew a beard and
had a few kids.
So the first Wings was his baby, if you know what I mean, and he worked hard at it, as we all did, and we're all very proud of him. I think he's a fantastic man, really, you know. He's really the boss.
McCartney?
Yeah. I mean, I know from working with him and seeing how he works with other people and how he works in the studio, you know, he was the man.
Marianne Faithfull, Joe Cocker, Paul McCartney, the list goes on. Henry, you've known and played with them all. Are you still close to any of those people, or are you just happy to get up in the morning in Port Stewart and go down to the cafe, or what? Or what do you do? I don't know. It's none of my business.
No, I mean, I do a bit of fiddling about with the guitar mostly. You know, unless I've got something that I have to take care of, like letters or something, or sending something off, you know.
But do you ever get that call off? How are you, Henry? It's Paul here. How's the form? No, does that happen these days? Or
no, No.
Joe here.
I had a letter from him now because he, with all this Wingspan stuff, you know, and I had a nice little letter from him. I'd sent him a card to say that I enjoyed the Wingspan thing and I got a nice little letter back. If he walked in the door there today, it wouldn't be no different than what it was 20, 30 years ago, because he's a lovely man and we got on extremely well. You know, it was just my... I got itchy, you know, and, you know, the Mary had a little lamb thing that always came into it and stuff. Which...
But you were a youth, and you were inclined to ramble. I'm going to let you off on that, for dear sake.
Yeah, but I just felt that, like, we'd rehearsed Band on the Run for, like, 2 weeks prior to going to Lagos. And before it got too deep, I decided to split, you know. And a couple of days later, because the drummer, he didn't go either, Danny Sywell, for the same reasons, you know, which we were supposed to be getting this and doing this and that, and the contributions that we were all having to give, you know, were sort of brushed aside, you know. And I think the reason why he name-checked me a couple of times over the My Love solo, I think it's probably one of the only times that he's been confronted musically.
Tell us about that. I want to play it in a second here. I mean, it's a glory. I mean, a lot of people reckon one of the greatest guitar solos of all time, but you had to fight for it, didn't you?
But I didn't know what I was going to play. You see, this is it, you know. I mean, it comes from that thing of being able to ad-lib a little bit or something, you know.
But there wasn't much room. I mean, you're talking with George Martin and people like that.
That's right.
And say, you will do it like this, yeah, Henry. I put
probably my whole career on the line, you know. But I wanted to be able to express myself in a tune, playing the guitar as part of the band. You know?
Tell us about that. What happened in the studio?
Well, we'd laid down all the sort of backing track the day before. And the following day, I was in with this 50-piece orchestra. And myself, you know, and when the drop-in came for the start of the solo, not only I started playing, but this orchestra sort of like thundered out underneath me, like it was just frightening to the point I just started and finished it. I don't know what came in between until I heard it back. It's like one of those things that just come out of the blue, a bolt from above, you know.
It's not half bad though, is it? Are you proud of it?
I am, absolutely.
Could you play it again?
No.
Or is it one of those things that was just...
If I was to, you know, rehearse it, I could probably play it again, you know. But I've heard saxophone players playing that solo exactly as it is and everything, in Holiday Inns. Very strange altogether, you
supermarkets.
Know.
Supermarkets. Henry, what are you doing these days? I mean, you're playing a bit of music. Are you a happy man?
I am. I'm
honest
very,
to goodness.
Honest to God, I'm at a stage now where, you know, I don't have to take things as hard as what I used to. You know, I like to be about the house, of course, with Josie, and we've got a couple of animals there, you know, and that's nice.
Henry, your time today, sir, has been a joy. I really appreciate you making the effort to come down and talk to us at all.
Pleasure.
So, in a word, was Woodstock any good? We never talked about Woodstock. Just a year now, was it any good?
It was fantastic.
All right.
I mean, the gig was fantastic. You would have seen it in the movie anyway, and I think Joe Cocker and the Grease Band's performance was probably one of the highlights of Woodstock.
And you up to your elbows in it?
Absolutely. Slithering all over the place.
Henry, thanks a million. You said a prayer at your mother's grave.
I did.
For your, you know, that things would be all right again. It's apparent to me that you're doing just fine.
Well, thanks very much, Mark. You're a good man, I thank you.